Welcome to Keep Making Movies, the podcast where we explore, shall we say, movies that may have needed a bigger budget. We evaluate the movie for what it is, decide if it could have been improved with a budget, and if it will join our Keep Making Movies official recommend list. I'm your host, KJ, and with me is...
Tom.
Today we are discussing Junta Yamaguchi's Beyond the Infinite 2 Minutes. This is Junta Yamaguchi's first feature-length film. He has also directed River, which was released this year. And later on in the show, I want to talk about River a little bit, Tom. I'm really excited to see it. I haven't seen it, but I want to talk about that. But in Beyond the Infinite 2 Minutes, we follow Kato, who realizes that the computer in his apartment on the second floor of the building has been connected to the TV, the computer in the coffee shop on the first floor, except there's a two-minute temporal disturbance. So if you're in the coffee shop, you are talking to somebody 2 minutes in the past, or more importantly, if you're in the apartment, you're talking to somebody 2 minutes in the future, so you can pass information back. They then realize if they set up the two monitors to face each other, they can possibly talk to even more than 2 minutes, maybe 4 minutes, 6 minutes, and the entire movie revolves around this idea of trying to take advantage of passing information 2 minutes at a time into the past and into the future. And it's great. The different ways they explore the possibilities of what that can do work out wonderfully. So, Tom, what do you think Junta's goals were with Beyond the Infinite 2 Minutes?
I think his goal is choreography. I think his goal is to create this experiment in which, can we get these people to replicate this scene every 2 minutes, either in the top apartment and then down back into the shop, or in different parts of the shop once they bring the monitor down. And I think it's a giant choreography project. Like, can we pull this off? I mentioned in our first impressions, Children of Man, Hitchcock's The Rope would be another example of that kind of single shot thing in which both the directors, Cuarón and Hitchcock before him, were interested in making a movie in which, or making a scene in the case of Cuarón, or Orson Welles in Touch of Evil, he does the same thing, in which the movement of the camera is the scene. That's the excitement. And
so
it's,
Tom,
can we pull it off?
Let's talk about, so there's two things you had said. First, the choreography of the upstairs and downstairs, but then you also mentioned the one cut aspect of this. And I didn't remember that this was a one cut type film, but on the poster, it says a one take time travel sci-fi comedy. I never liked the one cut. People like Children of Men, they're like, oh, I love this. I'm like, this looks like a video game to me. I don't know why we're striving for the one cut, but I think it worked really well here. And I don't want to burst your bubble. I don't know if you watched the credits.
I did.
Okay. So they didn't like film and then play back within the 2 minutes, right? They filmed a lot of stuff and then just, okay. I just wanted to make sure that that trick wasn't.
Yeah, but it's still, you still have to be cautious about how you're plotting this out, right? The scene does have to take place 2 minutes after the other scene. And we have to see that from the opposite angle and so forth. And because we are, or because the filmmaker is doing it, quote unquote, in real time, they actually are timing these things.
That's true. In the credits, they did have like a little stopwatch that they're trying to. And did you see that paper that they wrote out to try to keep? Oh, wow. That was cool.
Yeah, there's audience. There's, in the credits, they show a little behind the scenes. And there's a graph that it looks almost like the steps of a pyramid. Like a kind of South American pyramid.
Yep.
And I think each one of those is a 2 minute window, right? Or a 2 minute level. Because once the monitors are facing each other, it's not 2 minutes anymore. It's several multiplier. It multiplies it. So I think the one cut and the choreography go together.
That's true. That did give the movie a fast paced feel in a very good way. Because if it cut, what would 2 minutes be to the audience? Right, I think that's an important piece of this. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it,
Yeah, you need the emergency of, are the actors actually going to make it to the screen? You know, so there's almost a kind of a meta feel to it, right? Like, are they actually going to be able to get there and pull the scene off before it's too late? That's, I often felt that. And normally that would also irritate me in the way I think maybe Children of Man irritates you, because it's like, okay, that's kind of a stunt. But the movie is so happy and friendly that you know, you're just sort of enjoying the energy, because the actors seem so happy.
Yeah,
they're enjoying it.
It works so well, and they're even encouraging themselves sometimes from the other side. They're like, oh, go do this thing, you don't have to, but you will. Like they seem to like encourage them to see if they could make the scene even as you were watching the movie. So yeah, absolutely.
What do you think the goals were?
So, these time travel movies, I love them. And I always think, well, it's to explore different parts of time travel and what the dangers are and what the... But I don't think they were that interested in that at all. It was all just about having fun. I hadn't thought about the choreography. I now that we're saying that, I think that's absolutely part of the goal. I also think a lot of these movies, people just want to make a movie. So they're working within the constraints of their budget. And this is one of the most fun ways I've ever seen someone use essentially two sets right next to each other, but still two sets to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it helped that it was 70 minutes or 60 minutes or whatever. It did not overstay its welcome. So
yeah.
I thought that also helped with achieving the goal of the choreography. And I don't know if I could have handled that much energy and that much silliness much more than... The 70 minutes.
It would have worn on you.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you would have had to have a tonal change to something a little more serious, and that wouldn't have worked as well. And yeah, I think even when there's a scene, audience, where the male character is interested in a female who works in a barber shop next door, and she comes in and she gets kidnapped by these gangsters who take her upstairs. That worried me, because these men are like, okay, we're taking her away, we're taking her upstairs. And I thought, oh no, this is a mistake, because the thought you have is something terrible is going to happen
right
to her.
A tragedy is about to interrupt this comedy.
Exactly. But when you get up there, there are two gangsters are like arguing about the knots they're trying to try. They're trying to like tie her to this chair.
Why
they
is
can't
this couch
do it.
So wide?
Yeah.
But even before that, Tom, if we can just start celebrating this movie, the walk up for the main character, the walk up to go save her, is one of the greatest things, because each of the other characters run up and say, you need ketchup, you need the pill bug. Like, it's this tremendous.
You need a symbol.
You need the symbol, yeah.
And he's got to carry the monitor also.
Right. So let's jump right to... How do you think they did with their goals and the money they had?
Yeah, I think they did great. I think
right?
more money would have ruined the experience, because so much of the joy of the experience is the meta, right? It's watching these actors pull off this dance,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
as opposed to, you know, if it was a high budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it was a high-budget movie, it would have been much more about the emotional investment in these characters or something like that. You like these characters because you like these actors and you like how happy they are. It's not, we're not really being sucked into this world. That's not mm-hmm. the point of this. So I think more money, almost by the fact of it, would have ruined it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it was very funny. I had a big smile on my face the whole time. One of the things that I think ends up being very funny is, why did the director choose to use computers with surprisingly long extension cords instead of like a tablet or a laptop? That
yeah, that's a good
they start walking down. Who in their right mind has a 300-foot extension cord on both monitors?
Yeah,
because it's got to go up the other way too.
Yeah, that maybe the unrealistic. Yeah, if they had a tablet or something like that. This is what, 2019.
This was 2020. So
2020. Okay, so
yeah.
It's just before COVID. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess that's one thing. They could have just had tablets there. It would have been a bit easier.
I think it was part of the silliness was these long cords that nobody, and then nobody comment. Like, it's not like nobody said, why do you have this on a really long extension cord? Everyone's like, yeah, let's just move it downstairs. Like,
yeah, it's fine. Yeah. And I think the weight of the monitor was also funny because he has to go up the stairs to save her while holding a very large computer monitor.
So that they knew what objects to hand him.
Yes,
when
exactly.
he got there. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was some other really funny lines. Like, they're trying to figure out how to use the 2 minutes to their advantage. And the one guy gets the capsule that he wants, the pill bug. Mm-hmm. And the other, the funniest guy says, you wasted it on a capsule? Like, we had this wonderful thing and you wasted it on a capsule?
I also like the other guy who gets a scratch off to win a sleeping bag. Like, that's their big money plan.
Right, the big thing.
We snuck a sleeping bag.
But what's funny about that is they didn't use the future to figure that out. He said, do the one on the right. It's a sleeping bag. The other ones might have been $1 million, but because he told them to do the one on the right, he did the one on the right. And then the gangsters. So at one point, they go into a dumpster to get a VCR because they know there's a stack of cash in there. And it turns out that somebody stole the cash and hid it there. So these gangsters shows up, right? It doesn't really make that much sense. But they come in and they're like acting all tough. And he goes, really? A VCR in the age of Blu-ray? Like, what does that have to do with?
Yeah, that scene actually doesn't make any sense. Because where do they get the information that there's a VCR somewhere with money in it?
Well, so a lot of this movie is paradoxes. Which work well as long as the ink is dry. But it turns out in this movie, the ink's not dry because the time traveling police get Marty McFly. And so I recognize those guys. Those guys are in another movie that I'd love to bring to the show called Summer Time Machine Blues. And they end up time traveling in Summer Time Machine Blues. So I think that also might have been a nod to that movie that they eventually became time travel police. But they were really funny too. Mm-hmm. They kept trying to get the characters to do what they're supposed to do, but just like trying to be overly polite, like, no, do that thing now. Do the thing you're supposed to do now. Like,
yes. Yeah. Then they can't because they sneeze. Yeah. You did that on purpose. It's really dusty. Yeah. Then they disappear. Mm. Yeah. That was great. And we talked last time. I don't know when our other time traveling shows will air at this point, but we did, what was it? Timescape? What was last?
Time lapse.
Thank you. And time lapse has some of that same energy. That's the photograph one. I don't know what order these are coming out. I don't know if either of us know. But in time lapse, these people get a camera that tells them one day in the future via a photograph. And they feel obligated to replicate that photograph, fearing they will die or evaporate or something if they don't replicate the photograph. So it turns into this kind of a pseudo absurdist tale, except it's very, very serious and criminal stuff happens and so forth. This also has a bit of that where they're like, we have to do what's in front of the, you know, in front of the camera. But they actually are more absurd. They're not trying to, you know, whenever they try to make money, they don't, it's just like they pull it out of a VCR. It's just a random VCR where it's like, I know what I'll do. I'll get a really rare doll
capsule.
Capsule doll thing. Like, there's a one point they get a capsule and there's like toys in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a pretty big thing over there.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, capsule machines. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so they get like a rare toy, a pill bug, which again has nothing to do with
time travel. It wasn't like go to the third machine from the left. It was go get it because you're gonna get it. And yeah, they're excited. Like,
yeah, they're almost like the future is gonna be great. I'm gonna get a pill bug. But it's it's absurd because they don't do anything to actually. There's no extra information given to them, mm-mm. And the things they get are not that impressive.
Right.
But they're so happy about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Tom, do you think this would have a bigger budget would have helped? I mean, I know we've been talking about this.
No,
right?
I think a bigger budget would have sucked the fun out of it.
Would have hurt it, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
No, I completely agree. I think it's a perfect little movie. I don't know that I would have changed a thing. But let's talk about River, his new movie that I've not seen. Audience, if you know where it is, apart from a theater in Japan, let me know. At Talking Studios on Twitter or whatever they're going to call that by the time this is released. But I read the synopsis on IMDb, and what happens is this in this cafe, there's people working, and they get stuck in a two-minute loop that they can't get past 2 minutes. And some people want to stay in the 2 minutes. Some people are trying to figure out how to get out of the 2 minutes. And it just sounds like such a wonderful compliment to this movie. Like it sounds like a spiritual sequel to this movie even, mm-hmm. in a great way that I would love to experience.
Yeah, this looks like it looks like the same thing, but based on the plot description, I also haven't seen it. It seems more like the serious or the sad version of this.
Maybe that might have got lost in translation on IMDb. I don't know.
Like there's this thing called 2 minutes that is imposing itself upon you.
Right. You're stuck between 8:58 and 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
and you can't get at it. Like a Majora's Mask or Groundhog Day. It's a 2 minute mm-hmm. Groundhog Day movie. It's what it sounds
yes.
like.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean the point of Groundhog Day is that leads to enlightenment, right? It's basically a Buddhist story.
Whereas there's so much silliness you could do with that, especially mm-hmm. if you only have 2 minutes. So I'm pretty excited. So what do we think, Tom? Does Beyond the 2 minutes make the recommended list for Keep Making Movies?
Nah.
What?
I'm kidding.
Yeah, it's a hard yes for me. Honestly, at this point, audience, if you haven't watched any of them on our list, this one should go to the top.
I think so. Has any been better than this?
This one had a smile on my face. I guess the other ones we were doing aren't as silly and as lighthearted.
You can rate and review this show anywhere fine podcasts are available. For those viewing in YouTube land, if you haven't already, please like this video, subscribe to the Talking Studios channel for all our exciting content, and follow us on social media at Talking Studios. Check out other shows by Talking Studios, including Talking Pictures Trivia, where we explore movies through trivia, Limited Lexicon, where we play through text-based adventure games, Get the Point, where we slowly reveal a movie poster and try to guess which movie poster it is, and Adapt It, where we explore adaptations in various forms. Got a question for us? Call the Talking Studios hotline at 201-467-8679 and leave a message. It may be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Keep Making Movies, wherever fine podcasts are found.
And audience, if we can get our hands on River, we will absolutely bring it back to Keep Making Movies, because I'm excited to see it. And I think you are too, Tom. Join us next time when we discuss Coherence from 2013. Stay tuned for our first impressions of Coherence. Next week, we'll be discussing Coherence. Tom, how was your watch?
I watched this movie yesterday on Amazon Prime, where it was streaming. And it's a classic movie for this podcast. It is obviously low budget. It is also playing with science fiction ideas. And the film is designed around the need to strip away as much as possible. So the whole thing takes place in a single room. There is no script. It's apparently entirely or almost entirely improvised. There's no crew. It takes place in the setting is the director's house. And it has no kind of real special effects or anything like that, which becomes an interesting challenge. And I think an interesting means of making film for less by kind of stealing from theater traditions and improv traditions. And improv is a theater tradition predominantly. And so you can give the filmmakers credit for that, for being able to be, to limit themselves and create a product out of those limitations. And I think of the self-imposed limits that we've seen in these movies, this one appears the smoothest. The filmmakers seem to be a little bit more canny on how to use the camera, how to light scenes. The actors are clearly more experienced than a lot of the actors we've seen before. Nicholas Brandon from Buffy the Vampire fame is in this as well. They somehow got him. And so there is a bit of, and the improv does give you a sense that these people are a kind of friend family. You know, it's this group of friends who are kind of like a family.
Tom, what are you going to say during the episode?
Oh, I'll stop.
That's okay. I just...
Yeah.
I'm looking at my notes. I'm like, not much left.
I do struggle with this movie, and I think the problems of this movie are the problems with a lot of intelligent science fiction, in which a science fiction-y thing happens, and that becomes a means of exploring human nature, or exploring this kind of philosophical idea through this science fiction occurrence. However, the kind of conclusions or the exploration itself is somewhat less interesting than the conditions that sponsor it. How about you, KJ? How was your first watch?
Wow, Tom. Wow. Yeah, that was pretty comprehensive there. So audience, you don't know this, but Tom and I have been doing this show, and then my cousin Ryan, who's been on Talking Pictures Trivia, was going to join us for an episode, but I kind of dropped the ball on scheduling. But she had actually recommended Coherence. So the first time I had watched this was about a year ago, and then I watched it again quite recently for this recording. My memory of this movie was way better than actually sitting through the movie again. Yeah, audience, go into this movie not worrying about trying to figure it out and not trying to worry about the details. Focus more on what Tom's talking about, like, oh, it's interesting that this was improv and things, because when I was trying to figure it out the first time I watched it, I think I enjoyed it a lot less than when I kind of just let it wash over me. So that's my advice for watching the movie, audience. I hope you enjoyed it if you watch it. Otherwise, tune in next week. Anyway, Coherence is available on Amazon Prime at the time of this recording.
Wow, Talking Studios,